Wah bam 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 toot toot.
We're back on downtown at 16 before the top of the hour. Well, we lost one of the pioneers of rock and roll over the weekend with the passing of Richard Penniman, known to the world forever and always as Little Richard. Here to talk more about Little Richard, his music, and his legacy, we're pleased to welcome in the Director of Education at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, John Gerke. John, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we're talking about one of the great originals of all time in Little Richard. When you see people like Bob Dylan and Paul McCartney weigh in and talk about the influence and the importance he had in their careers, that tells you all you need to know, I think, about Richard Penniman.
I saw Bob Dylan's comment where he said, Little Richard was the original spirit that moved me to do everything I would do. And, you know, coming from Bob Dylan, that's saying something.
Well, and of course, when you look at the pioneers, all of them had their own thing. But I don't know that anybody carved out such a unique stage persona and musical style or made their entrance to the world any better than Little Richard did with the very first lines of Tutti Frutti.
You know, Little Richard to me was a showman in everything he did. And, you know, he was there. He's one of the founding fathers, the pillars, the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll. And he was a force of nature who just sort of ripped up the entire 1950s with just that charisma, that rockin' piano, and really an electric stage presence that really became symbolic and of what rock and roll was all about.
Well, yeah, and the music was, of course, amazing, and that's why we remember him most of all. But the look, the style, the flair, all of that that would be borrowed and utilized by so many different rockers in so many ways through the years, and you can tick them off, but yeah, everybody from Bowie to Madonna owed a little debt, I think, to Little Richard.
Oh, yeah. Otis Redding, Prince, Michael Jackson, the Beatles. The Beatles idolized Little Richard, as did so many of artists coming out of that British invasion scene. And you know, when you hear Paul McCartney singing, I saw her standing there. That sounds like a Little Richard track. And certainly, you know, all the those woos, right? The way Paul McCartney hollered on that track, he's pulling from the Little Richard influence, no doubt.
And of course, he had his own roots, as so many performers in the early rock and roll era did, in the church, in gospel music, and just helped him that fusion, really, that created what we now know as rock and roll.
That's a really great word you used there, too, right, Rich? Fusion, because that's really what Little Richard and so many of his contemporaries were doing. It's what Elvis did. It's what Chuck Berry was doing in Fats Domino. They're mixing all their influences. You know, rock and roll didn't come out of nowhere. It was a blend of gospel and country and rhythm and blues and the blues and the boogie-woogie piano lines and all those things. But Little Richard, he symbolized, you know, his outrageousness, both from his stage, you know, performance and just the way he would perform on the piano with that, like, unrestrained passion and power. That, to me, really symbolized rock and roll's rebellious spirit.
Also,
and that... Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
I was saying, but that rebellious spirit is what was why rock and roll was so attractive to a whole new audience. You know, the whole baby boomer generation, they were hungry for something that was different, that pushed the envelope, that was a little bit more suggestive and dangerous, different from what their parents and their grandparents and their teachers were listening to. And rock and roll was like the perfect antidote for that.
Well, you mentioned that too, and you listen to those records today, more than 60 years later, and you think, how did he get away with releasing songs like this in 1957? My gosh.
It's the beauty of the double entendre, and some are more suggestive than others. It's funny because, you know, when you hear people talking about, you know, the suggestive content in music today, I always say rock and roll's always been about that. It's always pushed the envelope. It's always been teetered on, you know, on that boundary, and it's what's made it really excited, and it's what connects it to so many people.
We're talking with John Gerke, the Director of Education at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We also would be remiss not to mention the role that Art Rupp played at Specialty Records.
Oh, yeah.
And Art, still going strong, more than 100 years old. But without Art Rupp, I don't know that we would know about Little Richard.
You know, Little Richard is, he's doing a few recordings early on, I think like for the Peacock record label, a few of those smaller labels. But it really wasn't until he aligned with Specialty Records, with Art Rupp. You know, Art Rupp worked with a ton of early rock and roll legends. And like you said, over 100 years old. I think just turned 100 earlier, maybe last year. And he's still kicking. I had the great privilege, probably about 10 years ago or so, of going to California to interview Art Rupp. It was when he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the stories he told about Sam Cooke and the stories about Little Richard were just incredible. And there was, you know, every story you hear about Little Richard, it's always about that charisma, that passion, it was everything that he was. And he carried that through his entire career from the 50s, even some great recordings of the 60s and even into the 70s that maybe weren't as popular in terms of the commercial success. But there's some really great gems in there as well.
Yeah, and if you look at his track record of making chart hits, it was pretty limited there to a couple of years. But the influence was so strong. He's to me embodies the idea that it's quality, not quantity, that matters when it comes to influence.
That's right. And you know, famously in the early '60s, as his hits in America were kind of drying up, he went on a very successful tour over in the UK and over in England. And I think that's where the Beatles and a lot of these artists saw him and got to meet him. And there's great pictures of a very young Beatles posing with Little Richard. And that, you know, Little Richard was a hero to the Beatles, an absolute hero. And it's why when you see Bob Dylan commenting, you know, and Paul McCartney, you know, these public comments, and while they were still alive, artists like Otis Redding and Prince and Jimi Hendrix and James Brown, they idolized him. You mentioned David Bowie. David Bowie said that when he was 9 years old, he saw Little Richard in a movie. And if it hadn't been for that moment, he probably wouldn't have gone into music. He really associates so much of those early decisions with just seeing Little Richard perform.
Well,
that's powerful.
Well, it's hard to measure how many people saw Little Richard in The Girl Can't Help It and said, wow, you can do that? That's possible? Wow.
And these songs are really timeless. You know, I have two kids who love music. You know, no surprise, their dad works at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But we play them early rock and roll songs and songs like Tutti Frutti and Good Golly Miss Molly. You keep a knocking, but you can't get in. These songs really hold up and they're still fun. And my kids just they can feel excitement when they hear those songs. It doesn't sound like an old song. It doesn't sound like one of Dad's songs. It's just a fun song.
Now, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has got a lot of ways people can learn more and celebrate the greatness of Little Richard with both sound, video, and all kinds of great information. Can you talk about some of the online resources that are available for people?
That's right. So, obviously, for Little Richard, we're celebrating his life right now. And it's everything. If you follow us on social media, you'll see some great tribute pieces that we put together. There's a few more surprises I think we have. We're going to open the vault a little bit more here in the coming days with some great, you know, never-before-seen interviews with Little Richard. We have a great playlist of his career-defining hits. You can find that on Spotify. And then you mentioned the online resources, so I'll take this moment. I'm basically homeschooling my two kids right now, as I know many parents are across the globe. We have some really amazing free educational resources. So if you're a teacher out there, if you're listening, if you're a parent, if you're a student, and I know, you know, school's winding down here in the next couple weeks, if you're looking for a really fun, interactive, engaging way to bring music into that curriculum, check out rockhall.com/education. You'll see a lot of free resources, lesson plans, activities, creative writing prompts, some really, really fun things to use the power of rock and roll to help with the learning.
And now it's sad to think about it, but we're down to one living member from the original induction class of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis. He put out a record about 10 years ago called Last Man Standing. and here he is. You know, it's I've had the great privilege and honor to work with many of those early inductees, including Jerry Lee Lewis. and Chuck Berry, who passed away a number of years ago, Fats Domino, who passed away a number of years ago. It's pretty remarkable, though, if you think about it, that rock and roll, you know, that we still even have one of rock and roll's founding fathers is still alive. It shows you that rock and roll music isn't even still that old compared to, you know, some other art forms around the world. But yeah, it's sad, but we use these moments to celebrate, to listen. I've been listening to a lot of Little Richard and really digging deep. I love the journey, and I didn't know as much about his 60s and 70s recordings. I mean, maybe more than the average person, but not that much. And just digging into some of those records, his modern records recording, there's some beautiful, beautiful tracks, some deep cuts. So if you're a fan out there and you know the hits, do yourself a favor and dig into some of those deeper cuts from the 60s and 70s. I think you'll be really happy you did.
So, John, what's the legacy of Little Richard?
I mean, I think he challenged the world to change. That's what rock and roll did. It was that rebellious spirit, and it is a spirit. You know, it's not so much about how you look or what you say. It's often how you say it. But it doesn't matter what instruments you play. Doesn't matter if you're black or white or you know what your race is. Rock and roll and Little Richard really in the driver's seat. He challenged the world, and the world changed as a result of it.
That's well said. Check out more information online at rockhall.com. John, thank you so much for being with us today and remembering one of the true originals, one of the greats of music, Little Richard. Thanks again.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for your support.